So we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, from the Adi Lila, chapter 7, text 25.
Uccha lila prenavanya chudika vidaya strivrida balaka juva shabara duvaya.
Translation. The flood of love of God swelled in all directions. And thus young men, old men, women and children, were all immersed in that inundation. Purport. When the contents of the storehouse of love of God, Godhead, is thus distributed, there is a powerful inundation which covers the entire land. In Sri Ramayapur, there is sometimes a great flood after the rainy season. This is an indication that from the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, the inundation of love of Godhead should be spread all over the world. For this will help everyone, including old men, young men, women and children. The Krishna consciousness movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so powerful that it can inundate the entire world and interest all classes of men in the subject of love of God.
So the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya is inundating the entire world by touching the hearts of various living beings. This Sankirtan movement changes the world by attracting the various conditioned living entities to the lotus feet of the Lord, towards the process of devotional service. And in this way, it spreads to every town and village. It is carried forward by people who become inspired about the Supreme Lord and who begin to glorify that Lord. And subsequently, new people become inspired. And in this way, from person to person, Krishna consciousness spreads. Sometimes reaching out to the masses, and other times reaching out to the individuals. In this way, the transformation of the entire world is taking place. And this is what is being described here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we are beyond witnessing this transformation around us, we are also witnessing this transformation within us. And in one sense, we must seriously make this internal change by dedicating ourselves with all our heart to the service of Krishna. In the last few days in Spain, we discussed many topics, and one point is still kind of fresh in my mind. And the point was that ultimately, in this world, we must center our life around devotional service. And then additional to that, or even within devotional service, everyone will have his dreams. Every individual has his own dreams in life. And we can have such dreams, but at the same time, we cannot have any expectations in this world. And that is the devotee's approach. Therefore, a devotee is not having much faith in the material energy, is not expecting that the material energy will necessarily be easy to control and produce nice results. But a devotee is also not negative or fatalistic. A devotee, rather, is very inspired to make something wonderful with this material energy. And therefore totally positive that somehow or other, something wonderful must be done in this world, in the connection with devotional service to Krishna. But when it doesn't turn out to be wonderful, a devotee will not become totally discouraged or depressed or begins to develop doubt in his determination about how to continue in this life. Because that is fixed. Devotional service is fixed. And that becomes deeper and deeper each time. As we are engaging in service, it becomes more and more dense. It is described in the Nectar of Devotion that the process of devotional service is gradually developing. And it is said that devotional service, first of all, is klesagni, or that which destroys all suffering. It is also subhada, it is all auspicious. Then it is said it is moksha laguta krit, it derides the result of all liberation. And finally, it comes to sandrananda visheshatma. And sandrananda visheshatma means it is becoming more and more dense. Just like when a material is hard, right, it is very condensed. All the various elements that are making up that particular product are together. Just like on the Spanish farm, there was a lot of discussion about alternative construction and how one can build houses with mud or clay and so on. And one of these construction techniques is to compress the earth, right, and to just press it very much. And then you have just clay, which in itself, if normally water comes on clay, it turns into mud immediately. Right? As soon as clay gets wet, it becomes a mess. If you have no experience in Mayapur, the roads are just very nice, but when there is a lot of rain, it turns into something else, right? Because that is just relatively soft dirt. But when the dirt is pressed down, or when it's pressed, it becomes very dense. So gradually, our devotional service becomes sandrananda visheshatma. It becomes impenetrable by anything else, by any other desire, by any other interest. That is the nature of devotional service. Because gradually, maya shakta mana parta yoga yunyan madasrayaha asansiyan samagramam yadagya jyasi tatsuinu. Gradually, we develop attachment. Just as cutting vegetables for Krishna is for Krishna. Just as coming for festivals for Krishna, that's for the glory of Krishna. Like now, we are assembling on the eve of a festival in Amsterdam. Well, Amsterdam is to start off a crazy place. Right? If you didn't know it yet, that's what this is. This is Amstermed, Amsterdump. This is a total madhouse, actually. The best thing to do with Amsterdam, as far as I'm concerned, is just above the city sign, put pavilion, you know, which would make it part of, and make it part of a mental hospital, and then everything is okay. Right? Declare the whole city a mental hospital. That would be my advice. So, what shall we say? Just wait a while until you see the neighbors walk by and you understand what I mean. On pills and everything. So tomorrow, the city is going to celebrate. Right? It's going to be crazy, of course. But it doesn't matter. Right? It doesn't matter because there is a tremendous opportunity to somehow or other engage people in devotional service, which is all auspicious and which will begin to create some attachment. Once you've tasted some hot cauliflower pakoras, you have to have them again. Right? There's no way around it. So in this way, when we are connecting with some devotional service, we have to do it again. and again and again. And each time it becomes more addictive and it spreads. We begin to gradually develop attachment to different aspects of Krishna. Not only the form of Krishna, the beautiful deity form, not only the melodious chanting of the holy name, but also the literary incarnation of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavatam, begins to appeal to us, and gradually the Lord, in all its aspects, begins to appeal to us, and we become more and more attached. And as we are becoming attached to serving Krishna in different ways, this process of Sandrananda Visheshatma, of the attachment in our heart becoming more and more dense, more and more impenetrable, that begins to happen. And in this way, we gradually are entering deeper into Krishna consciousness. And as we are entering deeper into Krishna consciousness, our external contribution in service can also increase. Because the more internally we are fixed, the more we will be able to really do something, to partake in this inundation of love of Godhead. In this purport, there is that famous statement that Prabhupada made, that the floods that are happening in Mayapur from time to time, that they are indications of the inundation of the world with love of Godhead. And here in this purport, see, the Prabhupada in a sentence says, this is an indication that from the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, the inundation of love of Godhead should be spread all over the world. He's not saying will spread all over the world. He said should be spread. So we see here that, again, he puts it upon the individual. He puts it upon a person. And that is why I began to speak how the inundation of the world with love of Godhead is a transformation from heart to heart, how it is an individual matter. And this brings then Krishna consciousness back to us. It brings it to home, and it brings it to the point where we ourselves have to take responsibility. Right? We are meant to become a totally transparent via media, a perfect conductor, like a electric current has unobstructed flow through a copper wire. We are meant to become unobstructed by overcoming all false ego and all other goals in life. And yet, spiritual life does not mean that we don't live in this world. Krishna consciousness is not Falgu Vairagya, or the type of renunciation to enter into a cave. My favorite example is Milarepa, the Tibetan ascetic who lived in medieval times and who spent his whole life eating grass soup. And I once read his biography, and in the biography it was mentioned that due to eating the grass soup he turned green, which kind of convinced me that he was not a role model. Right? I was considering that all good and well, right? But grass is for cows. That's quite clear. I figured that out, right, after reading that book. And I realized that, in other words, that spiritual life could not be something so artificial. I felt that spiritual life must be a life where all human expression can be accommodated. If we cannot be natural And if our personality cannot be expressed in Krishna consciousness, I would not have considered it complete or really like the original state of consciousness of the living being. Of course, we can appreciate that at present, in the conditioned state, there is material contamination. And as a result, that now there may be all kinds of attachments and habits that are not part of our true nature. That's easy. At one point in my life, when I was 15, I was quite addicted to cigarettes. And there was one school teacher who was giving this big talk to all of us in the classroom and said that, now you are young, now you should stop this smoking. Now you still can, right? Now you are not so addicted yet, you know? And some of us were saying, well, and I was one of those, I said, well, I don't know, right? I think too late already, right? So I knew, obviously, that it wasn't natural, but it was very much part of my life. So many things may have entered into our life that are actually not our nature, but we have become dependent on so many things. So in Krishna consciousness, there is certainly a process of cutting. Yet anujyasina yukta karma granti nibandana, that with the sword of transcendental knowledge, one must cut the karma granti, the knot of karma. Which basically means that everyone, life after life, develops a certain attachment with the material energy due to association. And just at the point of time where we have come, that has left a particular knot in our heart. And therefore everyone has his own individual knot. And at this point, that knot in our heart is still there. And with the we see that Krishna was making Arjuna go way beyond all his worldly considerations. Asochanam vasochastvam prakyavadam stavasase katasun agatasustanana so santipandita. You are mourning for what is not worthy of grief, my dear Arjuna. In other words, you are giving so much importance to so many things that have no importance, actually. So that may be there in us also, the same tendency to give importance to many, many things in this world that are not so important. So some cutting may have to be done in our life, where we say, keep it a little simple. But the primary aspect of devotional service is not cutting down so much, not restricting ourselves. There are certain principles, the principles, the regulative principles of freedom, they say. So there is such a thing as accepting restriction, prohibitions, viri and niseda, sarva vidi nisedu shure teoreva kinkaram. All the viri, all the positive injunctions and all the nisedas, all the prohibitions, they are there in spiritual life. They serve only one purpose, to become a pure devotee of Krishna. And smartavyam satatam visno vismartavyo na jatu sid, to always remember him and to never forget him. That is our objective. But the stress of Lord Chaitanya's movement is not on the prohibition. If this was a movement which was based on prohibition in the forefront and regulative principle in the forefront, it would be very difficult in this age of Kali to make this a worldwide movement, and it would even be very difficult for us to embrace it ourselves. This movement especially is running on ecstasy. And that is the essence of it. It runs on ecstasy. Lord Chaitanya is very kind and very forgiving, and he is not considering offenses, it is said. Right? And it is said, therefore, before we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we chant this Panchatattva Mantra. And it is stated that in chanting the Panchatattva Mantra, the essence is that by chanting it a little bit, one experiences ecstasy. And because that's actually what is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We may think, generally it's thought that it says, well, one should first chant the Panchatattva Mantra because offenses are not considered, but that's not what is written there in CC, in Adi Lila chapter 8. What is actually written is that by this chanting, one very quickly experiences ecstasy. And this ecstasy will give one so much inspiration to chant. Then chanting becomes something very wonderful. Just like anything. You see it in this world, you know. If we are, on a mundane sense, if someone is in love, no obstacle is too great. Right? No obstacle, no wall is too high. Right? If someone is in love, you know, it doesn't matter if you have to swim across the channel, but somehow or other you manage it. Yeah, you're gonna do it. If you really want to go somewhere and you feel strong about it, you'll manage it, you'll make it, right? Then there's no such thing, well, I don't have the money, I don't know how I'm gonna go, you know. If you can meet the person, right, who you are totally impressed by and totally, totally convinced by, if somehow or other you have to make it to America and you have no money, you'll make it to America. Yeah? You'll make it. Somehow or other, you'll make it. So this is an example of how tastes and desire can make us go beyond our limitations. So when it is stated that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will, that through his mercy, the lame can cross mountains. The dumb will recite eloquent poetry. And the blind will see the stars, the luminaries in the sky. Then we understand Mukham Karuti Vachalam Pangam Langayati Garim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Sikurunde Natarinam or Sri Chaitanya Miswaram. We understand that these things are possible because by becoming part of the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is the ecstasy. There is ecstasy. And in this light, if I kind of meditate on previous years that I was here in this Queen's Day Festival, I remember that at one point, there was an ocean of black leather. Right? It's just an ocean of black leather. Just bodies in black leather. Right? Yeah. The whole street just full of people in black leather dress at one point, somewhere in the late afternoon. All the black leather people had come out. Right? And they were dancing, totally intoxicated, on the tram stops, right, which have little concrete houses, shelters for the weather. And they were on top of that, and there was just leather in all directions. And there was a real heavy mood. And there was heavy house music blasting everywhere. Very, very loud. Right? Super intense, in other words. And all these people were, the whole street was covered in unlimited beer cans. Right? Unlimited beer cans. You could hardly see the pavement anymore of the road. Right? And all these people, they were screaming at the top of their lungs and they saw us, right? And we were in a different color, right? We were not in black leather. We were, you know, in our robes, right? And in spite of all the heavy, intoxicated cries, where all brakes are let loose, right? All barriers are no longer there, and people just go to a primitive, animalistic platform, right? Just as all that was going on, still, we were more powerful. We were more powerful because we had, by then, we had been chanting 6 or 7 hours, right? And by then, we were flying, right? We were just in another dimension, right? We were carried by the holy name, and we were chanting mantra after mantra, and by then, we were in the groove, and we were just like, you know, it was just carrying us. It was just coming out of our mouth automatically. It was not even something that you consciously had to do anymore. It was the mantra was just carrying us. And we were having a great time. And all those people would just feel overpowered by our presence. And somehow or other we just went right through that crowd. Because it happens on the strength of ecstasy. This is the point. And really, this is the key to spiritual life, and it is the key to practicing Krishna consciousness in this age. Because if there is no ecstasy, how can we expect to maintain Krishna consciousness for a lifetime? In previous ages, yogis, right, transcendentalists, would sit in the winter in cold water up to the neck. I mean, I don't even want to put my toe in the cold water in the winter. Right? Rather not. I mean, I one year I was in Cape Town, and there are two oceans meeting there, the Atlantic Ocean and the Indian Ocean. Right? And somehow or other they took me to the Atlantic Ocean. And, well, I thought maybe I should, since I came all the way to the ocean, maybe a quick dip, it would be nice. And I put my leg in the Atlantic, and it was cold. Cold. I mean, I immediately pulled that leg back out and said, well, that's okay. That's all right. Forget this ocean. I'll go to the other one, to the Indian one. Of course, in Helsinki, right, devotees don't swim in the summer, right? They go in the winter into the sauna and dig a hole in the ice and jump in, right, in the lake. They do Tattvavat and the boys. I heard you were just there. Someone told. So. That's all right if you finish, but if I would go in the winter in the ice, that would be it. So, what kind of determination transcendentalists used to have? Right? Inconceivable. So, in previous eras, spiritual life was practiced on great determination. Great determination. Who could possibly do such austerities? Right? Now, right? Not attractive to most of us, not possible for most of us. Right? So therefore, Lord Chaitanya's movement certainly incorporates some of these elements, and sense control is certainly important. But it can only be successfully completed. It may be started on the strength of austerity, sense control. But it cannot be maintained in this age on the strength of austerity. It can only be maintained on the strength of ecstasy. And therefore, somehow or other, if we read the previous verses, We just read how the flood of love of Godhead swelled in all directions, and thus young men, old men, women and children were all immersed in that inundation. That was text 25. I'll just jump back to text 23. Patra patra vichara nahi, nahi stana stana, je jahapaya taha kore premadana. In distributing love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates did not consider who was a fit candidate and who was not, nor was such distribution should or should not take place. They made no condition. Wherever they got the opportunity, the members of the Panchatattva distributed love of Godhead. And it stated, although the members of the Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of love of Godhead and ate and distributed its contents, there was no scarcity, for this wonderful storehouse is so complete that as the love is distributed, the supply increases hundreds of times. So this is really true. That when we begin to share Krishna consciousness with others, when we are actually getting into the mood of giving Krishna consciousness, then it becomes really very wonderful. Just like I was in South Africa and we were in the big Rath Yatra, and last year, actually, there was an incident that at one point Kavichandra Maharaj, right, who is so skinny and so weak in a sense physically, right, but not strong, he got so fired up to give the mercy, especially to many of the African people who were like in sort of deplorable condition. And he was running up and down from the cart, and he was taking prasadam and carrying his cloth and then running around. Everyone was getting it. And then he was running back to the cart, and he was so fired up, just running from one person to another, jumping, giving it out, like totally like beyond himself, in like in some sort of intoxication, handing out just more and more of this mercy, and then running to bring more, just give it out. And this is kind of no longer considering one's limitation, no longer calculating, but I'm 56, you know, no longer calculating, but my spine, but my this, my that, but just totally going to another platform, the platform of becoming absorbed in giving people as much mercy as they can. And this is just an amazing taste, the taste of Sankirtan. And there is actually no taste that can compare to it. Nothing can compare to it. It's like, I was in Mayapur spending time with Pankajangri and Jananivas, and I was talking with Pankajangri because they have an arrangement, since they are twins, right, that sometimes when you stay in India, they've stayed in India for many, many years. They are two twin brothers and they are pujaris in Mayapur of the deity. And somehow or other they have an arrangement that if one of the two has to leave the country for visa, that Pankajangri will go and Jananivas will always stay. So he never left. Right? But Pankajangri goes. So I said, well, you don't mind, you have to go. He says, no, I don't mind, actually. Because, you know, he said, after all, you just can't really... You can't really get there by bhajan alone, you know. He said, you know, you have to do, have to taste. You have to taste what it's like to give out the mercy. And if anyone knows how to do bhajan, it's these brothers, right? Who are like, you see Pankajangri, when he bows down to Tulsi, right? It's not just, you know, when they and that three times, you know, and so on. It's like rather very serious and with great attention. Okay? Paying obeisance is not just a casual thing, but very serious. It's clearly a part of worship, and is being expressed nicely and completely, very devotionally. Yeah. So, when it comes to bhajan, they spend their life in worshipping the deities with full surrender. So, what more could you desire in the realm of bhajan? Yeah. If they can't make it to bhajan, well, what about me? Right? That's like my bhajan is not on that level.
But somehow or other, so when it comes to bhajan or being ourselves alone with Krishna, where we just chant the holy name of Krishna, not to preach, but simply to glorify Krishna, right? And to submit ourselves before Krishna in purity and all seriousness with quality, that is required. And every once in a while we must take our days to be deeply absorbed like that, to read, to chant. I've booked Monday for that, so on Monday forget about me, I'm not home. I'm going to put a sign on my door, not here. I'm going to try and be somewhere else at the lotus feet of Krishna if I can. So we need this, but what is our capacity? What is our capacity to go deep in bhajan? Again, practically impossible. In Vrindavan, we see people doing dandavat parikramas around Govardhan and so many other things. Just spending their days deeply worshipping and meditating on Krishna. Slowly moving a pile of stones to the front and paying obeisances for one pile. If you look at the rocks, you know, I don't know, maybe 108 times. And then again, the next. So, what can be said? What can be said? Great personalities who sit down and chant and chant and chant. As Bhakti Steve picked us up from the airport, he referred to the biography of Gaurakishore Das Babaji and Jagannath Das Babaji. What can we say? Yeah. Jagannath Das Babaji started chanting in 72 hours, non-stop. Just non-stop. No break, nothing. Just continue chanting. It's like, for us, 72 minutes is already quite a feat, right? 72 minutes uninterrupted chanting. Chanted good rounds today. Right? So, but we can do something else. We can become part of carrying forward this mercy. And that is the inundation. Somehow or other, this became the theme of tonight's lecture. And it relates even to some of the discussions we had before, because as we were arriving, we were speaking about the Ganges and how the Ganges comes into the universe, and how the demigods, they jubilantly receive the Ganges with great happiness. And as the Ganges comes down, they catch it and they have celestial buckets. I don't know what they're made of, but somehow or other, celestial buckets. And they catch the Ganges in these celestial buckets and they move the Ganges forward in these celestial buckets. So the mercy is being carried by individuals, by personalities. The devotees are taking the mercy and carrying it forward. And this is actually the wonderful means by which this movement will spread. Because although Lord Chaitanya
when he traveled through South India, showed that he himself can so easily convert millions of people to Krishna consciousness simply by his will. Still, when Lord Chaitanya had planted the bhakti seed, which had been which had grown into a full tree, which branches were laden with the fruits of love of God, then he said, Mali Chaitanya, the gardener Chaitanya, he said, but I am only a gardener, I'm only one man, what can I do to distribute all these fruits? And therefore, he said, I order every man in the world to take on this mission of distributing these fruits. And by doing so, we see that the as one gives away Krishna consciousness, one will find that whatever stock he had has become many times increased. Therefore, somehow or other, this is our bhajan in this age. The other bhajan is needed to support our preaching, but it is that bhajan, that personal bhajan, will give us depth and strength. But then beyond it, we go and somehow or other preach, and immediately there's ecstasy. We remember these stories, how, at least for me, from Lilamrita, some might have been there, but about the times when the first Christmas marathons were invented accidentally, and how devotees were just distributing some books, and Rameshwar was describing how he was the first one back in the temple. He thought he was the latest. He thought he had been out the longest that day, and he thought he had broken all the world records. You know, he'd done more books than anybody ever did, and he came to the temple by around midnight. And nobody was back yet. And everyone was out, right? And they had discovered the Christmas marathon, and how people were buying, and how much, so much mercy was going out. And since then, devotees have at that time made so many endeavors to give out the mercy. So, and then when the Sankirtan devotees came home that first night from that first marathon, when they finally were there, they couldn't go to bed. They couldn't go to sleep. No one. There was no question of sleeping. Everyone was just gathering, and everyone was just talking and talking and talking about the amazing things. And one story after another, and they were laughing. And it is like that. After a full day of having given out the mercy, one is just sort of functioning on another energy. Some sort of, there is a taste there, and it's like when the Sankirtan devotees at night start sharing the stories of the day, that's an ecstasy where everything else is just forgotten. So, in this way, we assemble every year for this this occasion of the Queen's birthday. She is the Queen of the House of Orange, and that's our color. And tomorrow is really our day. And nobody out there knows what he's doing. Nobody has any idea what they're doing there or why they're really there. Nobody is really having any real fun. But somehow or other, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we can give the real meaning of what is festival.
devotional service and the glorification of Krishna. And they will see it tomorrow. The year we had Steve dancing with the girls in the green ponchos, we'll never forget it. I was leading the Harinam at that point, and I wasn't looking back for a while, and suddenly somebody says, "Look," and I look behind, and there's about 50 people in green ponchos, green plastic ponchos. I don't know what they were or why they were wearing green ponchos, but 50 of them, right? Green rain, plastic rain ponchos, right? All of them. And then Steve was dancing in the front. And then some of the girls from the back, they came forward and they took their green ponchos off, and they made it like in a prop like that. And they were like kind of using that as cheer girls, you know, while Steve was dancing. They were dancing around. He was a brahmachari then, you know, and he told me this was the hardest moment in my life. what can we say? But those girls were not at all dancing in a sexy, challenging way. It wasn't that. They were just getting into the fun of just dancing on the holy name. That's all it was, really. So there was an innocence there. There was something just genuine, enjoying the ecstasy of chanting. And these are things that, what can we say, a moment where there's like a little spark of transcendental energy descends, you know, and something extraordinary happens. And that is what you can see in Sankirtan, and therefore it's very nice that we are here. It is all by the arrangement of Lord Chaitanya. Of course, for those who got a little bit when they heard my descriptions of the oceans of black leather and all the house music and so on, thinking, well, that's maybe a bit much, right? There's also another place where the devotees have tables and a little stage, a little more quiet, a little off to the side, not in the wild oceans, but on the side where continuously throughout the day bhajan's going on, and where there's prasadam, and where many nice people come, and it's like the base for the devotees. All the devotees are hanging out there, and anybody who is sort of a friend of Krishna is there, and there's a whole social gathering, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of nice conversations that can be had with good people who are looking for some inspiration. So there also a lot can be done, and one can meet many people that just also there become for the first time attracted, but they are in a different mode, and they're not generally in the same mode as the masses. The masses are, well, I don't know if it's the mode of ignorance or if it's a special, if it's a fourth mode somewhere, but whatever mode it is, it's certainly intense. Anyhow, so all this, all this is part of the arrangement of the of Lord Chaitanya, that we can take advantage of these kind of festivals. So it's like, and it's a great opportunity for ourselves to not just to give out the mercy, but to taste something extraordinary, which we will not forget. So it will, and if we get into it, it can really enrich our spiritual life. When we are having a special experience in Krishna consciousness, for example, a special gathering, those devotees who went to Mayapur for the Panchatattva installation, you could say they got that under their belt. You know, They got that under their belt. They got that, you know. I mean, that's one thing you can tell your, you know, tell them 3 generations later if you're still alive. Well, you know, I was there, you know. Like that. Those who were there for the opening of the Krishna Balaram temple and who saw how Prabhupada installed Krishna Balaram and then did the first arti and then was just beaming with happiness. Right? They'll never forget that. They got that under their belt. Right? So everyone got something under his belt. Those who were on the Radha Damodar buses, right? What can they say? Got that under their belt. Those who served with Jayananda on making the Ratiyatra cards, got that under their belt. And we have the Amsterdam Queen's Day under our belt. Yeah? And no one can, it's probably going to be a black belt. Yeah? Whatever it may be, but that we have, that is our. So it can be a great opportunity to do something extraordinary. So I'll stop now. Maybe some comments or some questions. Otherwise, oh, my watch, I lost my watch. Otherwise, it's okay as it is. It's, so, I thank you all very much.